Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this invitation. Just demonstrates how the devotees of Punjabi Bhag are very tolerant, despite two previous lectures. I want to just before starting, I want to just check with Rukmini Krishna Prabhu, how much time do I have now to start with? I have a history of overstretching my time limits, so if you can just tell me exactly how much, and then I can try to stick to it. Fishing for compliments, yeah. 9 and 9, between 9 and 9. So today is the most auspicious day of the appearance of Sripad Ramanuja Acharya. As the word Rama Anuja indicates, who is Rama Anuja? Yeah, there could be others also, but the primary Anuja is Lakshmana. So naturally when an auspicious Acharya appears, many auspicious signs are also present. It is said in 1017 AD, in Sri Perumbudur. Now, of course, Sri Perumbudur is more famous for being the place where Rajiv Gandhi was assassinated. But the more glorious fame for Sri Perumbudur comes from the fact that Sripad Ramanujacharya appeared there in 1017 AD. That is, we can easily say that's almost 1,000 years back. And we got to know from some of the Sri Vaishnava institutions that in the next 5 years, they are getting ready for the 1000th anniversary of Sripad Ramanujacharya's appearance. So that's the most glorious event. But that will be preceded by ISKCON's 50th anniversary. So that is also important for us. 1966 was when ISKCON was incorporated. 2016 will be celebrating 50th anniversary of ISKCON, and 2017 will be 1000th anniversary of Sripad Ramanujacharya's appearance. So very auspicious events coming up, starting with today, let's hope so. And Sripad Ramanujacharya appeared as a son of Asuri Keshavacharya. Some people call him Somaya Julu or Nitya Kratu. Because some Brahmanas, especially Smartha Brahmanas, they have a concept of performing daily yajnas. That is why one who performs yajna is called a Kratu. So Nitya Kratu, somebody who does daily yajnas, he was also called Somayaji. Somayaji is a post, a title. It is like something conferred on somebody who is very advanced in performing these sacrifices. So needless to say, he was in a Smartha family. Smarthas are known for not being very smart. So they perform all kinds of rituals, but nothing spiritual. So therefore, Ramanujacharya was born in that background, and at a very early age, by the age of 16, he had mastered most of the Vedic literatures and understanding. He went and received, we'll just mix and match a few things based on knowledge, understanding and application. Most of us know about Sripad Ramanujacharya's life in some form or the other. We'll just touch on a few brief points and rather focus more on application from Ramanujacharya's life. Because even philosophy, practically everyone knows, if you're from a bona fide sampradaya. Just thinking as I was coming here, one of my roommates just told me that one of the things you should remember is to tell them things that they have not heard before. So I was in a huge dilemma, because I mean, this audience contains people who are much more senior to me, more advanced than me, more scholarly by millions of times than me. So I don't know what I'm going to present before them. So somehow by Krishna's arrangement, we're just trying to present some aspects for the pleasure of all of you Vaishnavas, and I seek your blessings to present them appropriately. So, yo nityam achyuta padambuja yukma rukmam vyamohadastaditarani trunayamane Asmat Guror Bhagavato Syadayaika Sindho Ramanujasya Charanam Charanam Prapadhye. So seeking the blessings of Ramanujacharya, we commence some discussions on his life, glorious life. Sripad Ramanujacharya at a young age, as we said, had mastered the Vedas, and he had joined the school of Yadava Prakasha. This happened after his father passed away, because before his father passed away, he had got married to Tanjammal, as she is called in Tamil, or Rakshagambal, as she is called in Sanskrit by Vaishnava scholars. Got married to Rakshagambal from a Smartha family, and they were leading a reasonably Smartha lifestyle, very ritualistic. But at the same time, Sripad Ramanujacharya had one glorious attraction to the lotus feet of Lord Sriman Narayana, Lakshmi Narayana. And at the same time, he was also attracted to Kanchipurna or Tirukachi Nambi, as he is called. It's a great, glorious Acharya, because this is close to Kanchipuram. Kanchipuram is a place where a most auspicious form of the Lord called Varadaraja, the bestower of blessings. In Back to Godhead, there was an article sometime back. Varadaraja, he gives blessings. So Varadaraja Perumal was there. And Kanchipurna was known to be fanning the deities. That was his seva. He used to constantly fan the deities. The Sri Vaishnavas lay a lot of stress on service. They call it Kaingaryam. So what they do is, Jaya Shri Shri Radha Radhika Raman Ki Jaya Krishna Balaram Ki Jaya Jagannath Balai Subhadra Mai Ki Jaya Shri Shri Gaurnath Hai Ki Jaya Shri Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya. So the beauty of Kanchipurna or Tirukachi Nambi was that he would personally converse with Varadaraja. He could actually speak with the deity, and the deity would give him personal instructions. Now sometimes we wonder, what is in Krishna's mind? Of course, we cannot understand, but at least we think, what has Krishna's plan for me? Well, Kanchipurna had no such problems. If he had a problem, he would just go out and ask, so what's your plan? And then he would get to know. So much so that he got to communicate the plan of Varadaraja for Ramanujacharya also at a future date. To bring it back to his education, Ramanujacharya, am I going too fast, Rasala Prabhu? Is it okay? This is a complaint I've been facing for the last 11 years ever since I started giving Bhagavatam classes. So, Yadava Prakasha was his teacher, and he was an impersonalist. But this is something very similar to many of the Acharyas. Even Madhvacharya's Gurudev, Achyuta Preksha, many scholars maintain that he was a Mayavadi. So some people claim he was a closet Madhva, meaning he was a Madhva in hiding, but Dvaita in hiding. But whatever it is, there is some similarity. There is some impersonalist guru. So when Yadava Prakasha started teaching him, I mean, this is crazy. When you are, it's almost like Sachin Tendulkar enrolling for a coaching camp. Now, you know, Ramanujacharya is attending a lesson from somebody else. So, and we're just using a completely gross karmi example, but may hopefully illustrate the point. So, Yadava Prakasha used to give impersonalist interpretations to all scriptural knowledge. So much so, even the pure transcendental topics of the Lord. Like it said, Avaishnava Mukhod Giranam Putam Harikatamritam Shravadaneva Kartavyam Sarpochishtam Gatape. So, we should not hear such impersonalist topics, impersonalist talking about Vaishnava topics also. So what he was doing was, Yadava Prakasha was explaining one aspect of the Brahman. He said the Brahman is limitless and boundless and all that. He said Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Brahman is Satyam Jnanam Anantam. Satyam is eternal, Jnanam is knowledgeable or Chit, and Anantam is unlimited. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. He said that is Brahman. So then, Ramanujacharya very humbly stressed the point that Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam are aspects of the Brahman. They are not Brahman itself. Right? They are qualities or aspects of the Brahman. They are not Brahman itself. So naturally, nobody would like being pointed out faults, least of all by a student. After that, a very famous incident, many of you would have heard of that, because it's just a very, very transcendental topic, we thought we should share this topic again. There was a discussion on the beauty of the Lord's eyes. So when he was discussing that, Yadava Prakasha said, Tasya Yatha Kapyasam Puntarikam Idam Uchyate, or Eva Makshini, two versions, Eva Makshini, Idam Makshini or Eva Makshini. Eka Makshini also some people say, but it's, we'll assume that it is Idam Makshini, two, three versions given, Idam Makshini. So, which means, according to Yadava Prakasha, the eyes of the Lord are like the posterior or the backside or the rear of a monkey. Tasya yatha kapyasam. Kapi is asam, kapi is asanam, or the backside of a monkey. Now, Ramanujacharya, who was Lakshmana as he was known, he was massaging him with oil, and then suddenly some hot water was felt on his shoulder. Naturally, there had been tears. So he asked, what? So he said, you're comparing the lotus eyes of the Lord. He didn't say lotus eyes. The eyes of the Lord with the rear of a monkey. So he said, if you are so smart, then why don't you explain? So he said, kam pibati means that which dries the water, and that which is bloomed by the sun, which is a lotus, that is kapyasam. So that lotus is what is resembled to by the eyes of the Supreme Lord, which is why it's called Pankajaksha or Kamala Nayana or Kamala Lochana or things like that. So, such a beautiful exposition of the Lord's lotus eyes was destroyed by an impersonalist interpretation. So now we can understand what is meant by we should not listen to impersonal interpretations of Vaishnava topics, especially glories of the Lord. So naturally, it was more than too much. It was too much of an insult for Yadava Prakash. And he gradually conspired along with his students to drown Ramanujacharya in the Ganges when they went to Prayag. However, by his cousin Govinda's intervention, he got to know that they were going to kill him. So he escaped into the forest at the night. And on the way, when he was wandering, he met a hunter and his wife. They call him a fowler also, one who captures birds. So, old fowler and his wife, they said, we are also going to Kanchipuram. So, if you want, you can come with us. He said, yes. So, he started going with them. As he was going with them, it became night and the lady said, I'm very thirsty. So, why don't you get me some water? But her husband told that, no, at night you don't have to go. It's too late. So, don't go for fetching water. So, as it dawned, they found a huge well. Those days they had steps to get down into the well. And even these days, many places they have. So Sripad Ramanujacharya, or Lakshmana as he was called, went down the well to fetch water. He did so three times. The fourth time when he came out, the fowler and his wife were not there. The dense forest had turned into a somewhat reasonable area of greenery. And suddenly he heard bell ringing from a temple. So he asked the passerby, what is this place? And he said, this is Kanchipuram, where you are coming from. And why are you asking me this? You are Somaya Jolo's son. Lakshmana, you should be knowing this is Kanchipuram. So then he immediately, it's shown in the ISKCON television movie also, if anyone has seen this on Ramarajra. He immediately bends down, takes the sand on which they were earlier resting, because that is Lakshmi Narayana himself, who were Hari Hari. Lakshmi Narayana himself, and we are also I guess the bliss was so overpowering, everyone was so stubbed. So yeah, Lakshmi Narayana themselves came to save Ramanujacharya. And why not Ramanujacharya is Lakshmana himself. So after that, he went home. His mother was very happy, because by then his father had passed away. His mother's name is Bhudevi, according to some versions. And so she welcomed him. They were together, and at that point of time, he started teaching students also. And soon when Yadava Prakasha and his students came back, he pretended that he was missing him. Oh my child, you're back, and all that. Crocodile tears were shed, and he was welcomed. So he still requested, why don't you join me again? But as things went on, he could not handle this. There was just too much dryness. Like sometimes when we prepare for corporate training sessions, the Prabhuji was saying, sometimes we go to training sessions on the same topic by other people. We hear them and we are waiting for the, what they call rasa to come. It's so dry. The only rasa is when we see the speaker drinking some water. Apart from that, it's so dry. So similarly, he was feeling the dryness. And he went to Kanchi Purna, who had impressed him so much, Tirukanchi Dambi. He went to him and said, please explain to me, who am I? Who is the Supreme Brahman? What are his qualities? What is my relationship with him? Please tell me. So he told him, I am a Shudra. Some versions say he's a Vaishya also, but he's, I am a Shudra. You are a Brahmana. They call him like a respected person, they call him Devarir. So he's saying, Adiyen, I am a Shudra and Devarir Brahmana. So you are yourself a Brahmana. Who am I? So he said, at the right time you will get a guru, he said. And then he said, till then, you do Tirtha Kaingaryam to Varadaraja. Tirtha Kaingaryam means he was already fetching water for Lakshmiji. And by her blessings, he now got fetching water, the seva of fetching water for Varadaraja in Kanchipuram. And the well is like long, it's very far away from the main temple. So he had to go, get the water and climb many steps and go. And then he could not carry huge buckets. So it would be like one small pot or something. He would again go back and so on and so forth. During this time, it was known that Yamunacharya Alavandar, who was the foremost of the Vaishnava saints, Prabhupada mentions his name as Alabandaru in Bhagavad Gita. The Tamil version is Alavandar, that's how they call him. He was himself a great saint, he was not an ordinary personality. His story is also narrated. We will deal with it at some other opportunity. But he wanted someone who will take up the mantle of Vaishnavacharya for the Sri Sampradaya. Sri as in is Lakshmiji. Of course, we also consider Sri as Radharani, who is the source of all Lakshmis. But in the Sri Sampradaya, Lakshmiji is the Sri. And so it was important that he wanted a successor or somebody who could take up the mantle of the Vaishnava Pidha. So he had written so many glorious pieces in glorification of the Lord, like Stotra Ratna, it's a very famous composition of his. Vaishnavas in ISKCON are also used to many shlokas of Yamunacharya, because Prabhupada quotes many of the shlokas in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Even the famous shloka of aversion to lust, where he says, Yadavadi Mamacheta, Krishna Padaravinde, Navanavarasadama, Nuddate Rantumasid. There you can understand Yamunacharya's mood. Navanavarasadama, Nuddate Rantumasid. Whenever you are worshipping Krishna Padaravinde, he is worshipping Krishna's lotus feet, he is so much engrossed in those nectarian pastimes. That tadavati bata nari sangame smaryamane bhavatu muhavikaram susti nishtivanamcha. He feels like spitting at the thought of sense enjoyment. So that is Yamunacharya's position. And he was a king. He was a king who gave up everything. So he was looking for Ramanujacharya, the king of saints. And then what he did was, he gave one shloka from his Stotra Ratna to one of his disciples to chant. Just like we see parallels. When Vyasadeva wanted to get back Shukadeva Goswami from the jungle, he sent his disciple to chant Barha Peetam Natavaravapu and few other shlokas, and he got attracted and he came. Very similarly, Ramanujacharya got attracted to Yamunacharya and he decided that I will accept him as my guru. In the meantime, all of a sudden, Mahapurna or Periyanambi as he is called, he came to invite Ramanujacharya to where Yamunacharya was. He said, please come there. He is sick and he may leave his body anytime. So when he was on the way, he immediately left this. He just completed the service he was doing. And then without telling home, he just went there straight, across the river and went across. There when he went, alas, unfortunately, Yamunacharya Pad had left his body for Vaikuntha. But they could see that three fingers were closed of his hand. And this is very famous. Many of us know. So there are very various versions as to what are the three instructions. We will look at maybe two, three alternatives of this. But by and large, one of them, Ramanujacharya, he was advised to by some of the senior disciples, and some versions like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Lakshmana himself loudly explained, Lakshmana Ramanujacharya, he himself said that, one, I will write a Sri Bhashya to Bodhayana Vritti. Bodhayana Vritti is Bodhayana, was the immediate follower of Vyasadeva, who wrote a Bhashya, limited commentary on Brahma Sutra. So this Bodhayana Vritti, there had to be a commentary. And for any sampradaya to be bona fide, one had to comment on it. We have a famous incident of Sri Vaishnavas of Jaipur challenging Baldev Vidya Bhushan Pad to establish the bona fide nature of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And what is the output of that? Govinda Bhashya. So that is our commentary. Although it is not required, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is a transcendental commentary of Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra. However, he said, I will write the commentary to this Vedanta Sutra. The second one was that he had to propagate Divya Prabandham and the songs of the Alvars, or some 4,000 Vaishnava Acharya songs were written in glories of the Acharyas, written by the Acharyas in glory of the Supreme Lord. 4,000. So he had to write a treatise on that, and he had to compile them also. There was also the important aspect that Sri Vaishnavism and the worship of Lord Vishnu had to be spread across the country. So as he said these wishes, some people also talk about a version of glorifying Parashara and Vyasadeva by naming some appropriate Vaishnavas with that name. So some versions talk about that also. So as soon as he said this, the three fingers opened. So there was confirmation that he is the Acharya. So it is not like Acharya comes by promotion. An Acharya manifests. An Acharya does not have to write an Acharya Union Public Service Commission entrance to become an Acharya. Because he is doing public service, he doesn't have to write UPSC. He is commissioned by the original government. He manifests an Acharya. So it was clear that he was an Acharya. And then his fame started spreading. So then he started accepting, he wanted to take immediately Pancha Samskara from Mahapurna. So what is mentioned is, you must have heard this shloka also, tapas pundras tato nama mantro yagascha panchama. Tapas puntro tato nama mantro yagascha panchama. These are the five aspects of any initiation. We all know that there is yajna, there is presence of deities or in terms of mantra. There is a mantra that is given, that is passed on. There is a new name that is given. Tapa means people put heated signs of the Lord. Conch shell and disc, chakra and shankha, they are kept on the shoulders, left and right shoulders. And they also give pundra, which is tilaka. The tilaka, some versions talk, it indicates these are charged up spiritual points in the body. So they indicate the growth of the kundalini from the base of the body to the spine, it is said. The Sri Vaishnava interpretation, according to some versions, is that this kundalini goes up, it gets awakened, and it takes the form of the multi-hooded serpent, Ananta, which is the vision of Vaikuntha that you will get. So that is the concept of the tilak. Anyway, all this was done, and so he gave him the mantras, Om Namo Narayanaya, Sriman Narayana, Sharanam Mama. This is the Dvayam. And then the Charama Shloka, which is Sarvadharman Parityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. He was given these mantras by Mahapurna. And why? He said, I will give you in Kanchipura. Come, I will give you initiation there. He said, no, I want it here now itself. Under a tall tree, he took immediately initiation, because he said, in one, because of minor delay, I lost my guru, Yamanacharya. No, I don't want to delay it, so I will take it immediately. So Ramanujacharya is setting an example that we should always be eager for initiation from guru. There is no point in saying, no, I am so fallen. Because we are fallen, we need initiation. Divya jnanam etho dadyat kuryat papasya sankshayam. Without taking diksha, where is the question of getting transcendental knowledge? Divyagan riddhe prakashita. Divya Gyan will not come. And we should not wait for all our anarthas to go to receive initiation, because that is a process. We receive initiation and the papas get pumps, papasya sankshayam, that happens. So Ramanujacharya got charged up after this, and he requested Mahapurna and his wife, who were originally from Srirangam, to stay with him. And from him he learned wonderful songs of the Alvars. The Alvars were Sri Vaishnava saints many years, thousands of years back, like 4,000 years back. The earliest Alvar who comes in the Sri Vaishnava line, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's Tirupoyige Alvar, or he is called Sara Deva or something like that. That's what he is called. Anyway, I don't know the exact name in Sanskrit, but it's called Tirupoyige Alvar. Poyige means a lake, so whatever, Sarovar, something like that. So some name like that. So from him, and there are these wonderful Alvars were always in Madhurya Rasa. The Alvars were in Madhurya Rasa. Although Sri Vaishnava tradition talks about Dasya Rasa more. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu borrowed two aspects, according to Gaudiya Acharyas, from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. One is pure devotional service devoid of karma and jnana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took these two aspects. Pure devotional service devoid of karma and jnana. And the second aspect is Vaishnav Seva. Service to the Vaishnavas. We will see always Vaishnavas. In fact, in South India, there is a saying called Vaishnava Namaskaram, which means people keep falling at each other's feet. Like when you come to Punjabi Bagh, if you have a back pain, you should not come to Punjabi Bagh. Because somebody always falling at your feet. And it starts from the top. So, everybody is offering obeisances. And this is the Vaishnava tradition that is set right from Ramanujacharya's time. They used to introduce themselves, the Sri Vaishnava, they introduced themselves saying, Adiyen, which means, you know, I am your servant. Dasanu Dasas. Like you say, Dasanu Dasa. Adiyen is how we say. Adi means feet, lotus feet. I am your servant. So, this happened, and in the meantime, what happened? He became very famous, and at the same time, his wife Rakshakambal was not very supportive. Once it so happened that Kanchipurna or Tirukanchi Nambi from a lower caste had come, couple of times he had come for prasadam. Vaishnavas to be invited home for prasadam is also a common tradition. So once he came on his own for prasadam, and Ramanujacharya was out somewhere getting some items for worship or for prasadam. So in the meantime, she served him prasadam, cleaned the place with cow dung, threw away the plantain leaf on which he had prasadam, and the remnants were given off to the servant maid because he was a shudra. When Ramanuja came, he was shattered, saying, I could not get Mahaprasadam. So again, Ramanujacharya is setting an example for attachment, how we must be attached to getting the remnants of Vaishnavas, irrespective of their social position. He's setting an example. He's an acharya. But the last nail in the coffin, as they say, or the last straw, was when Mahapurna, his guru, his wife was fetching water along with her. And by mistake, some water fell from her pot or her bucket onto theirs, Rakshakambal's. So she said, how dare you do it? Like, you are from a lower caste. And Mahapurna was not a Shudra. He was from a lower caste Brahmin. She is from a caste of Brahmins called Vadama. Vadamal, they consider themselves we are the topmost. It's in Smartha Sampradaya, it is there. So she said, you have committed blasphemy. You should not be, not blasphemy, something less than that, sacrilege. You should not be doing it. So they were very humble Vaishnavas. So they thought this is a sign from Ranganatha that it is time to go back to Srirangam. So they went away. They did not want another repercussions, you know, like whenever there is a Vaishnava Parad, one of the things that is mentioned is to, if you cannot, you don't want to get into an argument to defeat, or you can't put the tongue out, and least of all in the Vaishnava is yourself, so it is better that you leave the place. So they left the place. When Ramanujacharya got to know this, he realized that this is time. Because it, like we hear in some versions, we saw it in the ISKCON movie also, that Ramanujacharya is praying to Varadaraja, that Varadaraja, when will my day dawn? When will my sun rise, right, in my life? So Varadaraja answered his prayers. This was the incident. This was the defining moment, so to say, of his spiritual life. What he did was, he sent a Brahmin who was refused alms by Rakshakambal to go with a letter, as if written by her father, saying that your sister is getting married, so you have to come there. Sister or brother, I forgot. You remember? Sister or brother? I think sister is getting married. So you come, you need help. Your mother needs help, so you come. So immediately she treated him very nicely, gave him food, prasadam and everything, and went. So Ramanujacharya told, you please take, since you're going to be away for a long time, you take all your ornaments and things and go. So she went, and that was it. Ramanujacharya never had to see her again. He went to Varadaraja and said, I offer myself to you. So he accepted sannyasa. He took a tridanda belonging to Vaishnava sannyasi, which means surrendering mind, words and action to the Supreme Lord. He wore kashaya or saffron, and he was called by the name Yatiraja. Yatiraja means the king of saints. So Yatiraja. So his first disciple was his neighbor Dasharathi, whom he called Mudaliandan in Tamil. Dasharathi, first disciple. Mudaliandan means the first controlled. So Dasharathi became his student, and he started going on alms, asking bhiksha from people. And there was a rich grihastha called Kurathalvan or Kuresha, as he's called. So he used to give like huge. He was like, say, he's like Karna. He's like a second Karna. He's like Karna. Karna, the person who used to give lot of dan in Mahabharata. So when Ramanujacharya came and said, Bhavati Bhikshan Dehi, Kuresha and his wife offered themselves as Bhiksha and gave away everything to the Brahmanas and came with Ramanujacharya. So these are the first two disciples of Ramanujacharya. They are said to be partial expansionists of Lord Ramachandra and Lord Bharata, according to Sri Vaishnavas. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj mentions about this, but there is no confirmation from other scriptures. So anyway, this was going on, and then suddenly there was a call from Ranganatha himself in Srirangam that he wants Ramanujacharya to accept his personal service and to take over the administration of Srirangam temple. So Ranganatha and Kanchipurna confirmed. He checked with Varadaraja, said, yes, you must go. Please go. Varadaraja is saying you have to go to Ranganatha. So they have some agreement, I guess. Ranganatha and Varadaraja are the same person. So he went. He went and he accepted service. There he was told, you should accept mantras, further mantras from Goshtipurna or Tirukoshtiyur Nambi. There is a place called Tirukoshtiyur. It's one of the 108 Divya Deshams. The Sri Vaishnavas have a concept of Divya Deshams. Important places where the Supreme Lord is personally present. 107 are on earth and one is Vaikuntha itself. So there are Divya Deshams. Tirukoshtiyur is one such place. And the person who is a famous saint there is called Goshtipurna or Tirukoshtiyur Nambi. He was also a disciple of Yamanacharya. And here Ramanujacharya sets us an example. He accepted no less than 5 disciples of Yamanacharya as his Shiksha Gurus. So a good leader has to be a good follower. And he was a great follower. How? Every time he went to Tirukoshtiyur Nambi, Goshtipurna, he refused him. 17 times he refused. We'll be shocked as to what are the reasons he refused him. Many times, many reasons. First he said, you get become a sattvika priya. That was the second. I forgot the first one. Sattvika priya. Become dear to those who are sattvika. Then he said, become bhagavata priya. Become dear to the devotees. Then he said, become bhagavat priya. Become dear to Krishna or Vishnu. He went on. And do you know what he told him at the 10th instance? Any guesses? Become a Vaishnava. 10th instance. So similarly, 17 instances, I had a record of those things, but I do not want to get to it. We are running short of time. 18 instances, 18 reasons he gave, Tirukoshtiyur Nambi. Finally, 17th instance it came. He had refused. It so happened that in the meantime, because Ramanujacharya was very popular, the priest of Srirangam, he had some problems. So he felt envious, and he asked his wife to poison Ramanujacharya. So when she came with the food, Matajis by definition are simple, by and large. So especially Vaishnavis are very, very simple. So she offered obeisances to Ramanujacharya, and when he said Bhavati Bhikshanti, she kind of scratched his feet with her nail. So he got some indication. So he asked, "Mother, is there something wrong with this food that you're giving me?" And Bhaktisiddhan Maharaj says that because he's an intelligent person, he tested that rice with a dog, and seeing the effect, he concluded it was poison. So he did not eat that. There were other attempts to poison him also. This is also one great similarity between Ramanujacharya and our Sampradaya. There was a lot of conspiracy to kill Ramanujacharya. Also, he accepted sannyas himself because there was no qualified person to instruct an acharya, initiate an acharya. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj did these two things. These two things happened in Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's life also. There is something more attractive that comes towards the end. We'll mention as to what that is. What is that similarity? Anyway, Ramanujacharya finally got initiated by Tirukottiyur Nambi on the secrets of the Shadaksharam or Ashtaksharam, as the various versions give. Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. So he told in the various meanings, saying Nara means human beings. Nara means Nara Samuha or Nara Tattva, or the combination of all the Jivas or Naras. Nara Ayana means one who maintains all this collection of Jivas. And to take things further, he said, Namaha means nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Narayana. And Narayana Aya Namaha, this Ayaha, it means Narayana alone has omnipotence over all these Naras. He is the maintainer of these Naras and he is the omnipotent controller. So that is Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. We have an instance of the Mayavadis calling each other Narayanaya Namaha. They don't say Om Namo. Because when you are Narayana, I am Narayana, what Om Namo? So, one such Narayana called Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke to the real Narayana, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and said, Namo Narayana. What did Mahaprabhu say? Krishner Matirastu. So that is a mood of a Vaishnava. Anyways, he was told by Goshtipurna that you share the secrets of this mantra, you will go to hell. So what is Vaishnava compassion, Jivar Daya? What did Ramanujacharya do? Some people say he went to the top of the temple hall in Tirukottiyur, but there are more authoritative versions which say that he called an assembly of all his disciples. And he had a lot of disciples, 700 sannyasi disciples. 12,000 brahmacharya disciples. Talk about an ashram. 12,000 brahmacharya disciples. And I think about 400 to 800 grihasthas. Those days grihasthas would take time to take initiation. It's not like congregation preaching was not very active then. Like Punjabi Bhag. So, anyways, so this is what it was. And so, he called them and told them that this is the mantra. This will give you Vaikuntha. Please chant everyone. Om Namo Narayanaya Namaha. Which is the same as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant this and you will all go back to Godhead. He told them. So, when Tirukoshtiyur Nambi got to know, I told you not to give the secrets of this mantra. Some versions say that he did not give the entire meaning. He only told them chant this mantra. Which seems more realistic. Imagine telling a whole crowd about the breakup of, you won't like, you know, you can't, like Guru Krishna Prabhu was giving class to Saturday evening program and he's telling them, you know, the various expositions of the Mahamantra as given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasya or Prarthana, it doesn't make, by Narottam Das Thakur, it doesn't make sense. So, he just told them that, you know, this mantra you should chant. So, they all said that this takes care of the body, mind and soul, all of them. Even atheists can accept this mantra, it's so simple. Because it talks about maintainer of all human beings, we worship him, which is fine. But so he said, you will go to hell. He said, Sripad, if my going to hell can get so many people to Vaikuntha, I will gladly do it. So that is what, like, that's the mood of a Vaishnava, compassion. Like we have a history of Vasudev Vipra, who said the same thing. Please take, give me everybody's reaction so that, you know, I can go to hell for them. So Ramanujacharya was doing extreme compassion. And when there's extreme compassion and extreme preaching, there is also some forceful nature of the Acharya. He was so strong in his Siddhanta that he defeated, there is a mention of 1,000 Jains being converted to Sri Vaishnavism, which is very difficult. So, also there is a Maya of the scholar, it's on record, his name is Yajnamurti. Yajnamurti, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj talks about that incident. He came and challenged him. So, 17 days they debated. So, 17 days. Even Ramanujacharya had to debate for 17 days with a Mayavadi scholar. So, let us please stay away from them. Let somebody else preach to them. We will preach to the innocent. We will preach to... Let somebody else do it. For the time being. Let us save ourselves. Janma sarthaka kari kara parapaka. First save oneself, then save others. So, he prayed to Ranganatha that by your blessing alone I can say something. I have no qualification. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. He doesn't treat himself as a scholar. Everything that comes is coming from Krishna himself. Vekam shena stito jagat. Everything is but a fragment of his opulence. So all scholarliness also comes from Krishna. So he prayed to Ranganatha. On the 18th day when they met, Yajnamurti saw the effulgence on Ramanujacharya's face. Imagine when, you know, Ranganatha is personally blessing somebody. He just fell prostrate before him and said, please accept me as your disciple. And Yadava Prakasha, his previous Mayavadi guru, had also accepted initiation from him. After being clarified, he talked about how the Brahman has attributes like Satya Kama, Satya Sankalpa, etc. Therefore, Nirguna Brahma means Brahman without any material attributes. It is not like Brahman without attributes. That is like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gives his example. In the Jyotishtoma Yajna, there is an example that for the Soma, for buying a Soma, you should sell a cow with yellow eyes and brown complexion or some such thing. Buy Soma with that. So here the yellow eyes and brown complexion, they are adjectives of the cow. They are not the cow itself. Similarly, Vishishta Advaita, which is the Siddhanta propounded by Ramanujacharya to cut Mayavad. It was not propounded by him, it was propounded much earlier by many other glorious scholars. Before him there was Natha Muni, and going back up to Poyage Alvar, Bodhayana himself, and Vyasadeva, going up to Lakshmiji. The principles coming from them. So, he said that there is the dead matter, which is Achit, Achit Sattva, or Avishuddha Sattva. There is the Jiva, which is the Chit, and there is the Ishvara. These are the three elements in Vishishta Advaita. And like the body is dependent on the soul is dependent on the super soul. And it is controlled by the super soul. So there is oneness among the three, therefore it is Advaita. All of them are together. But because there is some element of free will that is given to the Jiva, therefore there is some kind of difference. But he does not explain it fully. This is the small weakness of Vishishta Advaita, that it is almost as if Ishvara is completely controlling the Jiva and the Achit. That means we are puppets, although that is our desire, but we are currently not those puppets. We are not yet fully controlled by Ishvara. That is our weakness. And there is a talk of, he talks about therefore these three elements. He talks about further that the Brahman manifests the creation from him, which is Narayana himself, Shriman Narayana, manifests himself, this whole universe out of him, and he doesn't change. That is the, again, the Parinamavada of the Mayavadis. He doesn't change. Like a spider manifests web from its body. This whole material creation is present like a green bird in a foliage or a jungle or a forest. It re-manifests. There are three types of jivas. Nitya Muktas like Garuda and others, Hanuman. Garuda is called Periya Tiruvadi, the foremost devotee. And then Hanuman is called Chinna Tiruvadi, or second foremost devotee. So these are Sri Vaishnava hierarchy. Like Madhvas have a completely different hierarchy. For them, Lakshmi is a Jiva. She is not Shakti. Completely complicated. So, but here Lakshmi is a foremost pleasure potency. So they talk, and they, he also talks about five types of the forms of the Lord. Where he says the para form, which is Vasudeva, original Vasudeva, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He talks about the Archa form, which is Radhika Raman was manifesting before us, Krishna Balaram, Archa form. The Vyuha form, which is Pradyumna, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, they are the Vyuha forms. Then there is, he also talks about, there are just two more forms, I'll just take, there is, he talks about, what, I missed it, sorry. Yeah. Antaryami form. Antaryami form basically is, there are two Antaryami forms. One is the super soul, which is Paramatma in our heart. And the second one is like Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Lakshmi Narayana himself in the heart of a pure devotee. That is also Antaryami. And apart from this, there is a Vibhava form, which is the incarnations like Rama and Krishna according to the Sri Vaishnavas. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says they did not understand the supreme form of Krishna as the source of all Vishnus. We know from Chaitanya Charitamrita or Venkata Bhatta and his family, Tirumala Bhatta, they all became Gaudiya Vaishnavas later by influence of Mahaprabhu when he was staying with them in Chaturmasya. And how Venkata Bhatta's son Gopal Bhatta Goswami became foremost Vaishnava Acharya, one of the foremost Vaishnava Acharyas. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj borrowed lot of aspects of deity worship from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. More than Madhva Sampradaya, he borrowed from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Like, there are various elements of deity worship. One is Abhigamana. Abhigamana is cleaning the temple. Shringaratan Mandira Marjanado, Abhigamana. Then there is Upadana, collecting material for Krishna, flowers, etc. Or deity dresses. Many of us go and collect deity dresses. So that is Upadana. Then there is Ijya, which is worship. Deity worship, which is done. Then there is Swadhyaya, which is reading scriptures, which many of us in Bhakti Shastri are now used to Purva Swadhyaya. We are supposed to. For a brahmachari, the Upanishad says Swadhyaya is very important. Even Bhagavad Gita confirms that. For a brahmachari, Shravanam is the yajna. Ritancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Satyancha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha, Tapascha Swadhyaya Pravachanecha. Everything is Swadhyaya for brahmachari. Very important. So Swadhyaya is very important. And the next is Anusandhana. He talks about Bhagavata Anusandhana. Bhagavata Anusandhana means basically performing pure devotional service to the Lord. That's the conclusion of this principle. Anyways, this philosophy is right, and because of that, Shaivite king called Kulottunga, he wanted to kill him to establish the supremacy of Shaivism unless he admits that Shiva is superior. So his disciple Kuresha went as disguised as a sannyasi Ramanuja along with Mahapurna. This is also similar to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's pastime when one of his disciples changed. And so we see the similarity of Acharya's lives. And then Kulottunga blinded both Mahapurna and Kuresha. Mahapurna died because of torture. And because of that, he got a severe infection on his throat, which is why he's called Krimikanda also, and he died. The king died because of his severe Vaishnava Aparad. It's not like just because of Vaishnava Aparad, your sadhana will get affected. If you really trouble Vaishnava, everything will get affected, not just sadhana. Gopala Chapala's example is also there. He contracted leprosy. Anyways, so he then went to Melkot in Karnataka, which is now called Tirunarayanapuram. And there he established a huge temple. The deity manifested out from outside. They found it. The Hoysala king of Karnataka accepted him as Acharya because he cured his daughter from Brahma Rakshasa's possession. And there are many other miracles he performed. Most important thing of them all is that he did not discriminate in preaching. Similar to Prabhupada, he converted Mlechas and Yavanas in consciousness and Shudras to Brahmanas. He respected them as Brahmanas, gave them initiation, gave them Brahmin initiation. Those days, imagine 1,000 years back, it's unthinkable. You know, see, it's like he's a revolutionary saint, therefore. And he smashed Mayavad, so much so that the Shaivites had to try to kill him. So, and he propounded a full-fledged Bhashya, which is also bona fide. There are many other things we can learn, like one of his disciples, Grastha disciple, Dhanurdasa or Vilidasa, he was attracted to the eyes of his wife, So he took him to Ranganatha and said, look at his eyes. You will forget all other eyes. And he forgot. And they became such advanced grihasthas that when his disciples were quarreling for who took my dhoti, who took my kaupin, they went to steal her ornaments on instruction from Ramanuja. So she turned the other side. Say, yahan ka bhi le lo. So they tried to remove the ornaments. And what happened? When her husband came, he said, what happened? Only ornaments on one side. He said, there must be some problem in the mutt. They came to take these ornaments. He said, you rascal, you thought you impudent woman, you thought this belongs to you, this belongs to Ranganatha. And then those disciples understood that we so-called brahmacharis or renunciates, we are quarreling with each other for nothing, dhoti and kaupin. And these advanced grihasthas, they are so detached. Everything belongs to Ranganatha. So such disciples he had. When he went to Kashmir to collect Bodhayana Vritti, the Bhashya, the original book was given by the Sharada Peet people. They said, we'll give it to you for reading. But they took it by Narasimha Deva's mercy. They took it. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, Narasimha Deva handed it over to them. So 1 month it was with them. Then they sent some strong people to retrieve that book. By then his disciple Kuresha had already by-hearted everything. He was like a Shrutidhar. So then he wrote the Bhashya of that. After that, he had translated all the songs of the Alvars. He compiled them. And 108 songs of his were also added to it. So that became complete 4000. And then finally, he also named two of Kuresha's sons as Parashara Bhatta and Vyasa Bhatta. And that way he fulfilled one more desire. He also had preached and converted Mlechas and Yavanasana Brahmanas. That way, he fulfilled all three instructions of his guru. Like Prabhupada, the mission of his Gurudev was his life and soul. For that, he lived for 128 or 120 years, according to some different versions. That means two full cycles of the Tamil year called Pingala. 60 years is his one Tamil year. He lived two full cycles. As per Kali Yuga, 120 is the maximum anybody can live. So he lived to full. He performed the duty of an acharya. He established temples. He preached. He wrote books. Everything that Prabhupada did and contemporary Gaudiya acharyas did, he did. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Sripada Ramanujaya Vishishta Advaita Siddhanta Mahaprabhu Gaudiya Prema Mandire Bidhi Swarupa. This is slightly wrong. One word is missing. So I could not read the right meter. But Sripad Ramanujaya Vishishta Advaita Siddhanta Mahaprabhu Gaudiya Prema Mandire Vidhi Swarupa. So we know that Mahaprabhu took these two versions, two learnings from Sri Vaishnavism, which is serving Vaishnavas, and we should also pray to Ramanujacharya today that we should develop pure devotional service devoid of karma and jnana, and we should always serve the Vaishnavas following Bhagavatam, which is Bhagavata Vidhi, which is what we should do. The Navadip Dham Mahatma also talks about how Ramanujacharya was instructed by Jagannatha to go there, and he got darshan of Gauranga, and he told him, you come in Kali Yuga, you come later in my pastimes in Gaur Lila as Sri Ananta. So Sri Ananta lived next to Vallabh Bhatta and was there when Mahaprabhu Nimai married Lakshmi Priya. So they came in his dream also as Lakshmi Narayana. So that way there is connection between Ramanujacharya and us. And Prabhupada frequently quotes Ramanujacharya. Even in Bhagavad Gita introduction, there is a quote, Ramanujacharya defines Sanatana Dharma as that which is without beginning and end. So for us also, Ramanujacharya's teachings will be Sanatana without beginning and end. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments? There are so many points that I wanted to touch, but it's not fair. We are not fasting till noon today. So, any other questions? Anybody has any questions on this? I don't know. One of our senior God brothers told us that the best way to check whether you made a good presentation is if people ask questions. So if people don't ask questions, then I guess I have not communicated effectively. Yes, thank you. Yes. Oh, very good. Okay, this is the problem with people who know things. They ask things that we don't know. So, Ramanuja left many instructions to his disciples towards the end. That is also similar to what Prabhupada did. few instructions. Ramanuja said that, for example, that every day you should read Divya Prabandham, you should read from Bhagavatam, every day you should offer charity to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, distribute food, like Food for Life, you should do. Every day you should worship the deity properly as per the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that Pancharatrika Vidhi was popularized by Ramanujacharya as against the Panchopasana by Mayavadis. So you do that, that everything should be to Sriman Narayana. Then he said that he also begged forgiveness, that in case I have committed any offenses to Ranganatha's service, please forgive me. Saying that, he also said, my body, my soul, my life air, everything I bestow into this particular deity form. So this will fulfill all your desires, he said. So this particular deity form is present in Tirunarayanapuram, which is Melakot, and also some versions talk about it being present in Sriparambudur also. And it is also mentioned that in Srirangam these days, many people say that, many Sri Vaishnavas don't agree to this, that his original transcendental body itself is kept there, embalmed and kept there with spices and herbs and preservatives, so that it's the same body. They bring it out sometimes and show darshan also. But the many Sri Vaishnavas don't confirm to this, so we don't want to state something that is not very confirmed as yet on this. Because we remember there was one interfaith dialogue with Sri Vaishnava. There was a Ramanuja Mission Society which had organized this. So there, when we mentioned some of these points, somebody came out very forcefully and said that it is not there. Also, this event of him going on top of the temple is not agreed to by many scholars. But we know that he gave prana pratishta while he was there of his own archa vigraha. So that vigraha has got potency. That is why even today, although there are not too many people preaching Sri Vaishnavism, still Sri Vaishnavism is spreading. Especially in South India, it's very popular. Some parts of Rajasthan, it's still popular. It's very popular. Why? Because Ramanujacharya is personally preaching. This is personally present. Not just in words also, which are non-different, but it's also personally present. Like his own guru, Yadavacharya, Mayavad guru, he reinitiated him as Govindajiyar and made him write Yadi Dharma Samuchaya, which is mentioned as the scripture for Vaishnava sannyasis, how to perform sannyas dharma. It's a very famous scripture. So he is present in both his deity form and as his books. He's written many books, Gadyatraya, many books. There are many books he's written. And among them, he's also given this Bodhayana Bhasha. But the important aspect that he brought about of his deity form, which is that there are two versions. The one which is currently supposedly present in Srirangam, it is not accepted fully, but his own deity form, which he invested his life air, his teachings, his energy, and his whole his soul itself, verily his life air, he bestowed on that deity form. And it is said, when this particular transference happened, Ramanujacharya became weak. He lost some. It was like he was shaken. And then he left his body listening to Divya Prabandham with his head on one disciple's lotus feet and on his lap and another on his lotus feet on another disciple's lap. There are also examples of his two disciples who asked for meaning of Sarvadharman Paritijya, and he instructed them, one by making him serve as a cook once, another by making him beggar on. Both his primary disciples. So he set the example for menial seva also. He himself did menial seva and his disciple also. And he had so much devotion for the Lord. When children were playing on the sand, they would give him like prasadam, sand prasadam. He would accept that also and he would touch that to his head. So much devotion. So Narayana is present. He understands the presence of Narayana in his deity form. And therefore he could transfer his own life air into his own deity form. Okay? Is it anything more you want to add on that pastime? He comes sometimes to Radha Pasa, the temple. That's why he's compassionate to my needs. Dasa was me. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Yatharu, Ki, Skandara, Chaitanya, Chaitamrita, Ki, Jai. We spoke from all that. Sripad Ramanachar, Avirbhav, Thiti, Mahotsav, Ki, Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki, Jai. Nitha, Gaur, Sitanath, Premanande.